Hello and welcome to Season 7, Episode 17 of the NJ Podcast. I am Hybrid Mink, your host. We also have in the room tonight Dr. Kev.
Good evening.
Requiem.
Yo, 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 yo.
And that's my pizza.
Poyo, yo, yo, poyo, yo, yo.
All right, we're all Kirby today. It's good, except Dr. Kev. We'll have to talk later. It's fine. We have the new season has begun, and we're going to talk about as much as we can. But first, let's get into housekeeping. What do we got going on the blog?
Right, on our webpage, which is the reason that this podcast exists, I suppose. It's medium.com/Anite-official or anite.org. There are three things since the last time we recorded. There's the official Fall 2022 Anite sequel guide, which we mentioned last time, but is... I can confirm it. It definitely now exists. So you can go have a look at that and see about all the shows this season that those of us who volunteered to write for wrote for. There are some notable exceptions, but nobody cared enough to write about them. There is both myself and Stinoles, another one of our writers, have done a roundup of the shows from last season. So I did my part two, and he wrote about a bunch of shows that I never watched, and I feel vindicated not watching them because he watched shite. By the looks of it, I watched a mixture of good and bad shows, so you can read about both of our opinions about that. And that's everything that's on the Anite page at the moment.
Easy. But you're probably here for the podcast because you want to hear things talk to you. You don't want to read, but you should still read. Please go read. Click any ads you see on the site.
There's no ads.
We don't know. They could be listening to this 3 years from now where there's tons of ads.
Okay.
Future-proofing it.
Yeah, there'll be like massive porn banners at the top and everything. Yeah, don't click on those.
I mean, never mind. We'll get into the shows. All right. So we got a big stacked season, and instead of doing a topic of the show, what we're gonna do is kind of like mix in some of the things the Anite crew has said about their favorite shows and what they look forward to based on the one or two episodes that we've seen so far. Just going down the list, I think we'll just, maybe we should just do a quick wrap-up of last season. Is there anything we want to talk about last season before we get into the new stuff? Because I know there were a couple things that kind of ended late. Guys, is there anything you want to do before we go to the new stuff?
The Mysterious Maid Show remained pointless right until the end.
I guess we could talk about Cyberpunk again, but it looks from the looks of it, and we already talked about that last time, so don't
Yeah, it's good. I think we just, if you think it looks good, just watch it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Fantastic show.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we'll just jump in. We'll mix in the sequels and the new stuff because there's so many sequels. It's kind of hard to just like parse what's more important. I'm just gonna go down the list based on the answers that we got in the community. Mama Luigi said Bocchi the Rock was my favorite premiere of the season. Excellent vibes, great characters, and I love me a good music-focused show. I'm also watching Bocchi the Rock, and I don't usually watch a lot of these. I didn't really like, what's it called, Bang Dream. Wasn't a huge fan, so I was like, yeah, I'm going to like this. But I immediately liked the characters, and I'm looking forward to like meeting more of the band. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I also had the time to actually watch this before the podcast because we had to delay it a little bit. But yeah, I thought it was very solid, and I really liked the twist on how the events of the show played out in that Hitori didn't nail her first performance. Her band actually just bombed it, and I felt like that was a good way to just like get you invested in their journey because they had a lot of emotion, like actually getting and forming the band, and now you're kind of invested in actually seeing them grow and adapt.
Yeah, I have this recurring nightmare that I'm like on stage and I have to play an instrument and I have completely forgotten what I need to do, and like everyone just laughs. So this was like the show that triggered my nightmares, but it's still very good.
Yeah,
what instrument?
Guitar.
Would be saxophone.
Yeah. Well, if you play trombone, I was going to say you could try to relive your experiences through Trombone Champ.
Yeah.
With the Fire and the Flames. Did you see that one?
Oh, yeah, I did. But I also saw a mod for the game where it's like a one-winged angel, and it's really funny because the character who's playing is like low poly Sephiroth with like a 7-foot trombone. It's hilarious.
7 feet's really big.
Yes.
I feel like we need to say more about the show. Is there anything else we need to say? I mean, it's a girls club band show. I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, I bet the music will be good. Usually these have at least halfway decent music.
It's very sweet. Yeah,
it's very sweet. And I like the character designs and just everything. Mm. It's just very visually engaging. Mm-hmm. Like, they could, like, I feel like the show could have easily just cheaped out on, like, interesting character designs because their characters are in like high school, but Hitori herself is just kind of like decked out in band gear, even though she's like super shy. And then I think the only one who was kind of not super interesting in their design was the blonde girl, because she was just in her regular high school outfit, but even then she looked pretty distinct. So yeah, it was very interesting to look at.
And for me, it was definitely the fact that the main character isn't just shy. She like seems to have legit social anxiety, and I kind of resonate with that. Like, I wasn't extreme like she seems to be. Like, I have no friends at all, and I really hope she gets out of that box. She's not in there the whole season, but that made the show a little more believable, and then it got very lighthearted. So I'm wondering if they're going to like kind of dip back and forth between things being a little dark, or if they're just going to be like, oh, everything's good now.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it'll probably do that, but I was also very interested to see, like, how... Well, this is kind of just me in general. I'm very interested to see how, like, streaming and that, like, social media have started to be more fully integrated into anime as a whole. And it gives... I feel the characters a bit more of a contemporary vibe, but also... it also allows them to expand, like, who they interact with, which is also very interesting. But I will also... mentioned that I was super impressed by the fact that in 33 years she has like 30,000 subscribers on like YouTube or whatever, and that, just like thinking back, like thinking of the optics of that, she's gaining like 10,000 subscribers a year, which is very, very impressive.
Probably got on that TikTok right at launch, just boom, yep. All those new members.
Mm-hmm.
It always bothers me when they're like, oh, like with something something Kyome, I forget the full title. It's just like, oh, we got like all these likes and stuff. I'm like, how are you doing this? Who are you talking to? You get all this marketing so easily. Ah,
maybe they exploded on TikTok, became a meme on TikTok or something.
Possible. Memes always do it.
Memes. Right. The DNA of the soul.
Mm-hmm. We got a lot of shows to get through. Let's move on. Right. UMR guy says it is DIY, aka do it yourself, for the presumed comfiness. And well, he mentioned some other stuff that we'll get into later. But a bunch of people said DIY as well. And I'm watching this too. Go ahead.
DIY, do it, US Surifu.
Mm-hmm. So clever, like such a common Japanese name.
Yeah, whatever. It's cute as hell.
Yep, I agree.
It's delightful.
I just love how it looks.
Yeah, it's just, it's so, and I like the setting as well, sort of slightly futuristic. So, and it looks like it's going to be getting into some interesting philosophical stuff, because there's one character who wants to work in tech and make everything so that people never have to use their hands for stuff ever again. They can just relax all the time. And then there's the other character who wants nothing but to use her hands to make stuff and to do things. So that's quite an interesting tension for an otherwise quite comfy show. So I'm very much here for that.
Like, if I don't have to do anything anymore, what would I do?
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
Mm.
I just love how, like, the disparity of everything. Like, it tells you everything you need to know visually by, like, the other girl's high school and their high school. Her regular traditional house with all his stuff around it and her friend's super futuristic smart house. Like, everything's right there in the visual language.
Yeah.
You know,
anyone else
know.
See
it's got great energy.
Yeah. It seems like an older, like, Gainax style of animation. Does anyone else think that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I was really turned on by the animation initially. And then just, like, you didn't even need to go in the future. It could have just been modern day and just, like, tied it in there. And then, like, the main character has, like, three pets. It's just, It's all these like little elements that make it a little more unique than your typical girls' club show, and I think that really makes it.
One of the things I think is really interesting about the main character, besides the fact she's, you know, a complete space cadet and has like 50 pets, and that running joke they keep eating pork at dinner and it freaks out the pig.
I love that joke.
Is like every shot of her bedroom, there's like a stack of trophies and plaques, and they've still not mentioned them or what they're where she won them for.
I didn't even notice that. Damn.
No, seriously, go watch the every shot where she's in her bedroom. You'll see, like, next to her bed, there's like four or five trophies and like awards and plaques. I'm like, are those for art or something? Like, where does like there's no mention.
Pay attention.
So I'm fascinated. I love that kind of like background world building.
Yeah, it feels like.
So I thought it was funny that her mother kind of gets her to do craft things, but she just ends up like damaging herself in various ways.
Crafts.
And then it just gives her crayons, and she just sort of eats them.
I'm so glad I bet you non-toxic crayons.
And she's just always covered in sticking plasters. She's just a walking disaster, but she doesn't seem to care. I'm not even sure she experiences pain.
For our listeners in the United States, sticking plasters means Band-Aids.
Oh, of course.
Like, it's not real. I think the reason why a lot of people are saying this is comfy, because it, like, a lot of shows will either be, well, here's like some turmoil, and we gotta deal with it, or it's like a slice of life, or it's just, oh, it's a bunch of stuff that happens. They actually do have these moments where, like, her neighbor, mostly, was just like, oh, I hate you. Why are you like this? You should have done this. But obviously, she loves her a lot as a friend. And then you'd think, like, oh, well, now the main character is going to feel bad and, like, get depressed over it. And she's like, eh, whatever. Like, every single time.
Like, so her friend gets annoyed because she calls him by some kind of nickname. And I don't know, is it a Japanese pun or something? I don't understand why she gets really upset about it. I can't remember the girl's name, but that she her nickname is Purin and she hates it. I don't know why.
Real name Miku. Pew.
Yeah, so how does Miku become Purin? What does that, what's that
we'll
about?
Get a story down the road.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Or it could just be lost on a non-native Japanese speaker.
One thing I love is that, you know, they do the we need to get five members to make our club official thing, and then they immediately call out that that's like the most cliche club storyline.
Yeah.
They're like, I read a manga with that exact storyline.
Mm-hmm. But this isn't a manga. Winks at the camera.
This is real life. Wink.
I guess the only thing I would say is that the crafts, I'm looking forward to seeing what they make. And I think what they've done so far is like the close-ups of like them screwing stuff in. I'm like, man, someone like spent time to make these things look like perfectly angled and just like really feel like they're actually like have weight to them. So it's going to be cool to see what they make.
I like the roller skates or whatever they're meant to be.
I think she bought those. There's no way she made those.
No, but I want a pair of those.
Oh, yeah, true.
Are they like Heelys or something?
Hover Heelys.
Yeah, they're like super advanced technological wheelies. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Like rollerblades of the future.
I can't imagine Heelys ever being safe to use.
That's all part of the fun.
Yeah, that's what made them great. Watching kids fall over.
That is fun, actually.
That's like saying you want to ride a Segway because it seems dangerous.
Yeah. What's the problem here?
Oh, God. Never mind.
So, yeah, do it yourself, DIY. I think a lot of people like it. If you like slice of life, you like comfy, there you go. Let's see. Your Mar guy also said Akiba Maid Wars for the holy shit, that was a thing. This very eloquently put. Holy.
I mean, I don't know how to put it better than that, because about the halfway point of that first episode, you're like, what the fuck am I watching?
I like how they got the murder out of the way right away, so it wasn't like, oh, well, we know it's going to drop eventually, but like, what? They're pig-themed. Why is there a panda there?
Violence. Like, she shot that kid, the one chick in the head, and she kept like spurting, like the giant spurt of
blood. Multiple times.
Multiple times.
It seems to be a nod
to like... noises.
It seems to be a nod to like gory movies where they would just have these like weird, clearly fake like but practical effects. And I was like, I guess I get it. Weird.
The show's so freaking weird. The second episode was just as weird.
PA Works is just going out all over the place. I don't know what happened to them.
I love the juxtaposition between the sort of maid singing dance sequence thing and then the maid girls are shooting everyone. And yeah. Just sort of dancing like, while shooting.
It was in time to the music.
Yeah, it was incredible. I've showed that scene now to about four different other people. So look at this is amazing. This is why I love anime. And then they sort of look at me and sort of back away slowly.
We're never talking again.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I love is that we're two episodes in, there's still not like a lick of explanation for what the fuck is going on.
I don't think you're going to get it.
It's I don't like think you're going to get it either. But
maids.
It's Yakuza, but maids.
Yeah.
This is the life of a maid. Yep.
I love that there's a 35-year-old woman. You don't really get that often, especially as a main character.
Mm.
Especially as one who like murders people.
Yeah. She looks like she's seen some shit, though.
Well, she has. First scene of the first episode. Yeah. I mean, I assume that's her. Like,
don't know.
Anyways, there you go. Yakuza with maids. It's pretty good. If you like wacky shit. Let's see. So, the new Gundam, the Witch Mercury.
Fucking
Ray Kaze says, it is incredible so far. Always extremely excited for any high-effort mechas. And then Arcane also said Gundam 100,000%, which I haven't done the math, but I believe that's a lot.
Yeah. But hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
In this show, it's not Gundam, it's Gundarm.
But the dude calls it Gundam. He literally says Gundam.
But he's the guy who makes
Gundarm,
up their...
And then he shuts his book, and he's like, Gundam. And I'm like, that's right, Tanjiro. You always have earrings. Always.
It's a Gundam because I said it's a Gundam. Like, oh,
yeah.
Right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Gundam Witch for Mercury. Come for the mecha fight, stay for the Yuri romance.
Exactly. That was another quote I had from some unknown source.
This is the first Gundam anime I've actually watched since Gundam Wing.
Gundam Wing, yes.
It's much much better than Gundam. It's much better than Gundam Wing.
Everything's better, so you can't go wrong.
Yeah, Gundam Wing had a lot of issues, especially the main character. But
I like that you don't need to know anything about Gundam to watch this, other than there are big robots, people pilot robots and fight one another to marry each other, apparently, which is
yes,
odd.
Yeah, that's the best part of the alternate universe timelines. You know, it's weighed down by Amuro, Char, and all that shit.
Yeah,
Amuro sucks.
I've always agreed. That was my problem with the original Bubble Suit Gundam. I'm like, this guy sucks.
Well, it's funny because the main character... Oh, shit. What's the main character's name in the show?
Oh, crap. I blanked on her name.
Is Suletta or something?
A lot of the names
Suretta
are very...
or something. Like that. Her name is Mercury, which is obviously...
Suletta?
Yeah, Suletta.
Suletta. Yeah, I mean, she does the whole eating the tomato thing, which is like a throwback to the original Gundam. But she has like a bunch of things similar to Amuro, where she's like, she's whining and doesn't really... want to do stuff a lot, but then when it comes to piling the Gundam, she's just a badass. So it's like she's got like that dichotomy there.
Well, of course,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say she's actually just super awkward. Like, I think that's kind of playing into the point that she pretty much had like zero like interaction with people her age because she was basically on Mercury. And from how the other characters described it, Mercury kind of seems like shit.
Yeah, it's like Kansas.
Anyway, good thing we don't know any losers from Kansas.
Yeah, we don't have any viewers from there. They don't have TVs. Yeah, wait, Kansas what? Sucks. Never mind. Forget I said that. But yeah, I really like the designs. I guess there's like four factions, and each faction has its own character designer, like in real life designer.
Interesting.
I really hated that magenta one with like the floof on the top. I'm like, this is idiot.
And then it immediately gets dunked on.
Yeah,
it was very G Gundam. A little flu.
Yeah, that was probably why it sucked.
Look, we did not insult G Gundam with two
hands here. The prologue, very Sunrise. Like, oh, we're not gonna need these characters. Let's just get violent. You know,
yes. Very, very violent.
I hope you like these characters because they're all fucking dead.
Yes.
Well, no spoilers, but not all of them.
Yeah, the majority of them.
Yeah.
I do like I do like that we got all the traditional Gundam. There's the stupid, you know, little round robot versions of that. You know, there's a tomato thing. There's a character in a mask, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's really obvious who that character is, too, if you watch the prologue.
Well, I mean, it's not supposed to be a mystery, I don't think.
No, it straight up shows that person sitting at a desk with the mask on the desk sitting by them in the most recent episode. So that's not a secret.
There you go.
I know. That's why I mean,
it's just really funny how that it's a secret to like characters in universe, but it's not to the audience. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just noticed that voice actress because she's in everything. So, I mean, she's Yor in a lot of other roles. So,
yeah.
Immediately noticed. That's a Char throwback, right?
So. Yeah, but. Yeah, I'd say the show's very good and all, but after like at the end of the first episode, did anybody else get like huge Scott Pilgrim vibes, where it's basically Sulette versus all the evil ex-boyfriends of what's her name again?
I'm totally in for that. Absolutely.
There are more ex-boyfriends than the one guy.
Like all her ex-boyfriends try to come take the role of her groom. That could actually it's just basically just. Revolutionary Girl Utena at that point.
Yeah.
Yep.
I haven't actually watched
Start Utena. Calling her the Rose Princess.
You need to watch Utena. I mean, this Gundam show was written by a guy who wrote like the novelization of Utena or something like that, or a light novel associated with it. So it seems unsurprising that this has duels and possible lesbian romances and stuff in it.
Yeah.
Although I'm not really sure how into that whole romance thing that Soleta actually is.
Yeah.
I doubt they go super far with it. I bet it's just like subtext all the way.
She'll come around.
Yeah. We'll see. It's not, well, we really haven't gotten enough details and it hasn't really explored that much of it. It's more focused on like the bigger picture where Gundams are whatever I say Gundams are kind of philosophy. Like okay. I feel like the show is more interested in discussing like, how capitalism is kind of shit, and just power dynamics in those kinds of societies. But yeah, it kind of feels like the show is going for a big picture ideas. But hey, it could also have Yuri romance, which would be cool.
Yep, I think Gundam fans will like it. I watched it with a buddy of mine who's watched like all the Gundam, and he liked it. So
yeah, and I think non-Gundam fans would also enjoy it as well.
I think that's what they were actually going for. It's like, we want younger audiences to get into Gundam. We're tired of all this politics and the Universal Century stuff.
So, yeah.
Okay, because there's no politics in this one.
Very much so. Yeah, it's all
lighthearted.
Yeah, did you know that big corporations are bad?
I love corporations. Hang on, Rick. Should we move on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we got a bunch of good quotes from Stinaliz. Let's start with a sequel, Urumakun, and that alone will be enough for me. So he was very excited for Urumakun. I watched first episode. It's good. It's more Uruma.
Mm. Not enough Amiri.
Very true. But
apart from that, I love that show.
It's pretty great. It really is.
It's so sweet and gently funny, and just the characters are all just ridiculous.
This the on-running joke of how Aruma keeps ending up in dresses really fucking kills
me. He's so good at putting them on.
Like he's like, how come you know how to put that on? He's like, don't worry about it.
He doesn't seem to mind. In fact, he seems to actively enjoy it, so whatever.
I don't even remember that blonde kid ever having a major role yet. Is this just like the first time?
He had a couple during the last season when all the various members of the class got spotlight episodes. He had his moments. It's just his turn, you know. Mm-hmm. That's a cool thing about having a cast that large, that's that diverse. Like you know, anytime you cycle one in to get a little spotlight time, it always works.
Is it weird that Urumakun is pretty much the only school anime that actually gives me nostalgia for school? Like nothing else. Cause like when they're all walking into school, and obviously some of them are flying, but they're just walking in. I'm like, oh, I gotta remember. Just like when we're all waiting outside for the bell to ring to go inside. Like nobody really does that. It's like, oh, here's the after school club thing, and here's the interactions, and then like someone's reading English, and it's usually Romeo and Juliet. Like I don't understand. Like
when they all fly to school, they sing the school anthem about eating people, which is possibly didn't happen in your school, or maybe.
Oh yeah, that was totally different. Yep. Mm-hmm. You should come to America sometime. That's all I'm saying.
It's a scary place.
Don't come here. All right, yeah, I mean, you know
we won't go to America. Tis a silly place.
Yeah.
I'm just going to write down Urumakun and... Okay. Let's see what else. Okay, so Stin also said he also liked DIY. He said Reincarnated as a Sword is stupidly fun. Is anyone else watching Reincarnated as a Sword?
Yeah. I watched it. It was the first episode, like half of it was boring trite, and then we met the cat girl, which was slightly better, but I don't know. It's just kind of, I want a character just to come on screen and ask the sword, you really like killing, don't you? And
he's a sword.
Should.
That's what swords are meant to do.
I don't know. I thought it was cute. Like, the cat girl's adorable.
I guess. It's just, I really don't like the sword guy. He's just...
I think he's not funny.
I think he's just... I don't know. I just don't like him at all. And, I don't know, it doesn't feel like the show has enough introspection to really grip me, keep me along for the long run. But I will say the show does look pretty good. The production values are great. I think the voice acting for all the characters are pretty great as well. It's just, I think the general writing of the series is just like kind of standard light novel power fantasy fare, which it's not like, really gripping to me at this point anymore.
It's like a shallow version of the Spider Isekai one, which seemed like it was very detailed and very well planned, whereas this is just like, hey, this is an RPG world and I'm a sword and I'm going to just keep leveling up until I become ridiculously powerful. Hooray!
Yeah.
Without really any depth to that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it has depth. It's very slapdash, as they would say, on your side of the pond. But it's, I don't know, it was dumb fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. The weird thing about this show is Bilibili, the Chinese company, has the exclusive streaming rights for it, which means everywhere else in the world gets it a week later than they do. So if you pirate it, you can watch it up to date, whereas if you stream it legally, you're a week behind.
You're a weak child, but okay.
And that's with all the subscription stuff, premium stuff from the state sides, I take it.
Mm. So, I mean, I've been watching this legally, so I've only watched two episodes, whereas some of you guys perhaps maybe have watched three.
I've only watched one, because I've watched it, like, this morning.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. It just feels like the show is... The whole world does very much feel slapdash, and there's nothing really to grip me. Like, I was debating between watching Sword Isekai and Legend of Mana, because all the ANN reviews I read about it says, yeah, it's kind of boring, but it has a very unique fantasy flavor to it, which I'm kind of looking for fantasies. I'm not looking for, like, general RPG, Dragon Quest bullshit. So, yeah. It's just kind of a bit disappointing for a fantasy series, because it's just not really adding anything to, like, my fantasy repertoire.
Hey, at least the guy rescued the girl from slavery instead of enslaving her, you know, so that's a plus.
That's a very low bar to clear, to be honest.
Yeah. But yeah. So many shows aren't clearing it anymore.
Every shot right now, what do you want? All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on. We don't have a, like, any good quotes here, but Requiem, why don't you tell me about Eminence and Shadow?
Eminence and Shadow.
You mean the Chunian Shadow?
The Chunian Shadow that's ever shadowed. I thought it's funny as hell, but like that first episode is so weird because
it's all like anime original, isn't it?
Yeah, and it leads into him getting isekai, but it doesn't get to that till the very last minute of the episode. The whole thing's from the perspective of a different character watching him pull a fucking Batman routine with two crowbars.
Really, Batman. It was more Kick-Ass, in my opinion. But
yeah,
same shit.
And then you get to like the second episode, and he's like, you know, irresponsible Captain Taloring his way through this fantasy world where, like, everyone interprets his intentions and the outcomes as always his plan, where he has no idea what the fuck is going on at any point. It's not even clear if he understands that there's actually a cult.
Yeah. So, he definitely clearly does not understand there's a cult. He thinks it's just random bullshit he made up. But
I love when it cuts to him at like 8 years old killing people with his fucking slime sword and shit.
I don't know. I find the characterization of this show to be fascinating, because clearly the main character is psychotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a fucking lunatic.
Yes. And like, wow, this is very interesting. Like everything about him is just like, he's kind of like a walking train wreck. And I'm just kind of watching what bullshit he's going to pull off or what things he's going to destroy. Because he has absolutely no idea how destructive he can be.
Yeah, just imagine the most Chernobyl motherfucker you've ever met in your life at a convention. Like a guy where you look at him and you go like, how do you exist? And imagine that guy got isekai'd.
Yeah, and he's basically given the powers of God too.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure I want to watch that. But I did watch the first two episodes and actually somewhat guiltily enjoyed them, so I guess.
Yeah, I know, it's not good, but it's fun. I mean, it's like French fries.
Well, I'd say in some aspects the show is fantastic. Like
It looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks amazing. The characterization is fantastic. The voice acting is great. Like, I need more power in English. It's just so stupid.
Yeah, the fact that it's always in English makes it better.
Oh yes, it's so corny. I love it. But God,
because someone explained to me where the elf came from. I'm still not sure, like, why was she turned into a giant inside out worm?
It was just like some random curse that he was I think it was a curse, and even though he was pulling it like that explanation out of his ass, I believe that was basically correct.
But he just tortured the blob until it turned back into an elf girl.
It's know.
Yeah, it was very. It was like, is this Maiden Abyss?
Is he actually the villain?
Yeah, like I was thinking about this show like quite a bit yesterday. It's like this is kind of like the reverse Overlord, where the main character, like in Overlord, the main character is clearly a lich, but he has like a human heart. He still kind of thinks human, and he has like bonds between the NPCs he made. Whereas the main character in Eminence's Shadow, he's a human, but he's clearly a psycho, has no compunction about killing, and he doesn't really think of his family or his friends as, like, people to really bond with or care about. He's all about chasing this weird ideal of being the Eminence of Shadow, which makes him a very interesting person, but it also kind of makes him feel like a final boss or, like, a supervillain. Like, he's just crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's fun, though.
It is very fun. And I already kind of know where it's like, it's very interesting how the first episode was more about explaining his, the main character's philosophy. But I know the series itself is very jokey and campy, where it's kind of where the main character just kind of bumbles his way through killing all these, like, evil cultists and not really realizing what he's doing. But also, all of his allies are completely aware of what he's doing and think he's on board as well. So it's just like the dichotomy between what he understands and all the shit going on around him is just very funny, but also kind of fucked up.
His all-female team of subordinates?
Yes.
So is this worth checking out, or only if you just...
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, it depends on your overall tolerance level for isekai at this point, but I think it's pretty funny.
I think it's funny, but it's also really weird as well, so I would definitely give it a try.
Okay. At the very least, you get some really well-animated fight scenes.
Yes.
Okay. You know what studio it is?
I'd have to double-check.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like a lot of studios are just cropping out of nowhere these days.
Yeah, if I had to say, it'd probably be maybe like... Troika? I know Troika did something this season, but I don't remember off the top of my head. Yeah, I'd have to double check that.
Tiber mentioned a show by Troika. I wonder if it's a different name, though. We'll get to that later, because I just want to do one more quote from Stin, who says exactly what I was thinking, and I was shocked at how much I liked it. Bleach is back, and it's hitting all nostalgia strings for me, is what Stin says. And, just a brief history of me with Bleach. That's pretty much the first show that I ever watched, like, simultaneously in Japan. I think it was actually Sonic X. We'll just not talk about that. I was always like, oh, Dragon Ball sucks. I don't watch those stupid shonens. And then a buddy of mine who I trusted said, you need to watch Bleach. And I'm like, all right. And I love the anime for the first like two seasons. And obviously they started going into filler territory and it got so bad that I switched to the manga. And then I read the manga up until this final arc. Oh, shit, the something blood arc. Whatever the current anime is based on. And I didn't finish it. I just got tired of it because the writing is so boring. Like,
It's like 100-year blood war or something.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. His art is like super inspiring to me. It's like what got me into drawing anime more than I was at the time. Like, I just got into college. I'm like, I'm here for 3D. Oh, Bleach. I'm going to draw anime instead. So, yeah, a lot of nostalgia for Bleach. So I'm like, I guess I gotta watch it. I'm sure it's just gonna have like really nice stills, like early 2000s Madhouse anime, where it's like super disappointing. I was shocked at how much I enjoyed it. Like, the animation's great. All the characters reminded me. I'm like, holy shit, it's that bald guy who I look up to. He's back. Everyone that I remember loving is back. I hope that they are able to keep the quality up because I love the first episode.
Yep. Also, a quick aside, I looked it up, and apparently the studio that did Eminence's Shadow is Nexus, and their last anime was Darwin's Game.
Oh, okay. Lord.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, this is already better.
Anyone else watch Bleach?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I would say you gotta watch it, but like, if you're a fan, they definitely did a good job hitting the nostalgia. They just throw you right in, too. They're just like, oh, yep, this is where it starts. No flashback, no recap or anything. And then after the episode, they have like a 3-minute long credit thing where they show tons of footage from the previous season. So if you've seen Bleach, absolutely check it out. If you've never seen it, it's a big ask. I would say read the manga and then watch this. You don't really.
It's on Disney Plus internationally. Well, when I say internationally seems to mean the US and the UK and a couple of other places. If you live elsewhere in Europe, you're screwed. It's not showing there. If you're in South America, you're screwed. It's not showing there either. So Disney just don't care.
We got it on Hulu here.
Yeah. Well, Disney Plus internationally has Hulu and Disney Plus just squished into one service.
Hmm. I've only seen it on Hulu. Interesting.
It's because Hulu's owned by Disney.
Yeah, but it's like you'd think they'd have the Disney Plus logo on there or something, but maybe they just keep them separate.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Let's see. All right, let's see. So let's get into Chainsaw Man. T-Grip says Chainsaw Man is the one I'm most excited for, although it's mostly in a how did they decide to adapt this character moment, etc. sort of way. So yeah, he's a big fan of Chainsaw Man. I saw a preview and I really liked it. I'm sorry, premiere. It was really good. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's great. I think they did a really, really good job so far. I've only read the first 3 volumes of the manga, so I'm not sure whether to wait and just watch the anime or whether to read ahead. And I'm kind of conflicted about that. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, there's a fair amount of heart in this as well. You know, the main character is a character who has had a really shit life, and he's struggling, and he's got no money, and other people are taking advantage of him. So it's not just like a brainless action thing like Ultraviolence. I mean, there's a lot of Ultraviolence, and it looks great.
Yeah.
And it's a big reason to watch it. But it's got a lot more than that. It's got some really interesting themes and some fascinating characters, and a girl with horns. So, you know, and girls with horns this season. Definitely, it's the season for girls with horns.
Girls love them.
Oh, God.
Go on. Go on.
More girls with horns?
Oh, I thought Pete had something to say.
Oh, you're talking to Kev. But I was going to say, I think Chainsaw Man is very interesting because it clearly, its main character is actually a very empathetic person. And I just love how introspective this series is because it allows me to get more connected to Denji. And also, Pochita is fucking adorable. I need a plug.
Oh, yeah.
Voiced by Nanachi. It was weird. Just same exact voice. Just exactly the same.
Yes. Well, Pochita only has like 2 speaking lines, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was super interested because, like, I've heard of the manga forever now. And it's coming in with like earth-shattering hype, so I was curious. It was interesting first episode. I'm not in love with the CG.
Yeah, I can see that.
But no, it's an interesting world. I thought it was interesting that all the mafia guys drove shitty like old hatchbacks, like an old Mini and a VW Rabbit.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the series is set in like an alternate universe of Earth or whatnot. Well, as you could kind of tell with the giant demons walking around the place.
Yeah, the demons and stuff like that kind of give that away.
You guys can't see those in real life. Oh, God.
Not my sleep paralysis demons again.
No, I'll have to go take my antipsychotics again.
But yeah, I also just love that the action of the series as well. Like, I love how Denji has a lot of weight put into his movement. So he's like throwing... It looks like he's like throwing around giant heavy ass chainsaws whenever he swings them. So each impact feels super chunky and delicious.
Delicious.
Yes, it's just like a good meatball marinara sub.
I mean, speaking of marinaras, I mean, just like the splashes of blood. That looks like a lot of work. Just like gigantic demons that's splashing on everything in the environment.
Yeah. They're just spreading all that marinara sauce all over the place.
Meaty chunks.
Meaty chunks.
Moist meat sockets.
Stop, please. So many sides.
I saw some people pointing out that a lot of the shots are just like directly, especially in the intro, they're like directly, not ripping off, but like an homage to a lot of American cinema.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's because the author himself is a huge fan of American cinema. Like, in the very first volume of the manga, it's like, I love the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Or something along the lines of that. It's like, yeah, I can kind of tell now.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm very interested to see, like, what hype energy the series brings to it, brings to us. Because if you... You need to watch. If you don't watch the show, you need to watch the opening. It is so fun and so nutty. I love it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I bet it's going to inspire a bunch of TikTok dances or something.
Oh, they already exist.
It does?
No, I mean, I bet money. I haven't seen any because I'm not on TikTok. But yeah, I bet it exists.
Ah, fair enough. But yeah, I'd say the hype is pretty much real. And I am reading the manga to just get ahead so I don't get spoiled by some annoying people on social media. So yeah.
You gotta spoil it yourself?
Yes, I'm gonna spoil myself.
Spoil with a P, right?
I reject your spoilers, internet.
Alright. It's another show that I think everybody would recommend. It's good. I mean, only one episode, but hey, that's what you're here for.
Mm-hmm.
T-Grip also said, Shinobi no Itoki looks like self-aware dumb fun, and it's Troika, so of course it looks good too.
Okay, that's the Troika show.
I'm not really sure which one this is.
It's Ninja High School. Yeah, it's Ninja High School, basically.
Oh, write that down.
It's like, oh my god, it turns out I'm actually the heir to a ninja family, and it's Koga and Iga, but they're still in the modern day, and they run convenience stores.
Yeah. Mm. Or huge Zaibatsus.
Yeah, and they're still fighting. I love ninja stuff, so I loved it. Uh-huh. It's so stupid.
I don't know. I just felt like the whole concept itself was just kind of falling apart, and that primarily stems from the fact that the main character had no idea all this was happening. So I kind of feel like he was not a very good character to make. He wasn't a very good character to basically make ignorant of all the stuff that's going on, because I kind of feel like all that whole thing, well, that whole setup was mostly in service of basically the first episode where, oh, it's a normal guy, but and he gets asked out on his first date who wants to pretty much bone him on the first date, and I'm like, and then it's like, oh, but she wasn't actually trying to bone him, she's trying to make him let his guard down and kill him.
Like Transformers 1.
Oh my god. But I don't know. I just felt like his characterization was all set up for the first episode, and it just kind of didn't work for me at all. I was like, can you just get to the ninja shit already? Because it was already fully implied by the series itself. Well, the promotional material and basically everything surrounding it. So it just kind of felt like it was dragging its feet through the entire first episode, and I was not a fan. Do you guys have any other thoughts on it?
I've not watched it.
I haven't seen it.
I really like the second episode a lot more than the first one. Yeah, it didn't nail the world building as much as I would have preferred, but it did jump right into ninja shenanigans in episode two, and I love that they've got like modern optical camouflage and exploding shuriken and all this modern ninja shit. I love that kind of stuff. So for me, it's just like the best kind of junk food.
Yeah, I honestly think I would have enjoyed it more if it got to that point, like in the first episode, maybe like at the halfway point instead of the like 3/4 of the way through the first episode. And I don't know, I kind of feel it would have been easier to tie in all this stuff if the main character actually knew what was going on, and he actually had a bit more agency in what was going on as well. But yeah.
He got to make his choice. I mean, we're going into the actual, like, a legitimate ninja high school coming up, so I feel like it's going to get even more wacky.
I suppose. I just kind of wish we started there.
That world building. Let's move on to something more people like. Yeah. Okay, here. Jesus. How about we hear about Uruse Yatsura, Who Wants to Go?
Oh, yeah. I love this show.
It's great.
A little backstory. I think this one deserves it.
Yes. Okay,
so it's based on a Rumiko Takahashi manga from 1978. It was the first of her big shows before she went on to make Maison Ikkoku, Ranma, and Inuyasha. It's a comedy show about a hateful little shit of a man who is doted on by a levitating, lightning-spewing, bikini-clad, green-haired alien princess who I love. Mm-hmm. Like Lum is her name. She's like the original anime waifu. So it was originally animated back in 1981, and it had almost 200 episodes. It ran until I think 1987. They made lots of OVAs, 6 movies. It was partly directed by Mamoru Oshii, who went on to direct Ghost in the Shell and Pat Labor and a bunch of other things. So apparently the manga creator Takahashi herself didn't really like what Oshii did with a lot of the characters, because she felt that it kind of moved a lot away from her original manga. So this is a chance, I suppose, for her to exert some control over the adaptation. So I think it's confirmed for something like 46 episodes or something, and they're not readapting the entire thing. They're taking a sort of best of approach to it. So the first episode split into 2 segments, much like the original show was. At least the first 20 or so episodes were sort of, rather than full 24-minute stories, were like 2 12-minute stories or something. So the first half of the episode is basically just almost identical to the first half of the first original episode, which is just about how the little shit stain boy Ataru ends up with this alien princess haunting him. And then for some reason they sort of jump forward a little bit, which is a wee bit discombobulating. I just reread the manga recently. So they jump from chapter 1 to chapter 5, which was then in the original anime was actually part of episode 6. So it's like, what? what's going on? But it looks really good.
It looks stunning. I absolutely love it.
The original show is dated a lot. I mean, the animation was not great, although it had its moments. But it looks very, very dated, whereas this looks right up to date. But the character designs still look like something out of the 1970s.
And it's quite refreshing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something different. But I will say the writing itself is very dated.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, like
a lot of old tropes, I'm noticing.
Good in spots, but it can drag quite a bit. Like the whole gag bit with Cherry, the old man. I was tired of his shit. Like after the very first time.
Yeah. And I think having such a perverted main character who's really—he's not sympathetic at all. I mean, he is an arsehole. You're not really meant to empathize with him in any way. I think you're meant to derive pleasure from him being repeatedly electrocuted and abused because he totally deserves it.
He totally deserves it, but it's also fun to see when he actually gets some reward. Like I absolutely love the part where they're interviewing like some random ladies on the TV, and they're like, "That Ataru, what a hunk!" And like, that's hilarious. It's like, yeah, and the funny thing is, that's a bit of a callback to what Ataru is like thinking about. It's like, if I save the Earth by catching Lum, all the girls are gonna call me hunks.
Yeah,
all the girls are gonna call me a hunk. It's like, it's so petty and so funny, and it's really funny when it happens.
One of the things that kind of motivates him to do what he needs to do in the first episode of the show is his girlfriend Shinobu offers to marry him. Now, I think for most modern men, they'd be like, yes! They'd sort of run away. But actually, he wants that, I think, mainly just because he wants a wedding night. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
But I was most disappointed, however, by one change that they made compared to the original, which is this show has a total absence of Lum nipples.
I knew it. Knew exactly where you were going with.
Dear Lord.
Free the nipple.
Oh, Lord.
Hashtag Lum nipple.
The original show was broadcast in 1981 at like a sort of family sort of tea time. It was like 7:30 p.m. on Japanese television. And the first episode had like full frontal with nipples, but now the new version, the same events happen, but the nipples are obscured, and I don't know if that's just because of international streaming stuff, and they think Americans will all have heart attacks or something if they see a cartoon nipple or something.
Or
whether Japanese TV standards have actually tightened up since then. I don't know. But yeah, I was most disappointed by this change.
Yeah, oh, I guess you're dropping it then.
Yeah. I also just found it funny that, like, in the intro for the show, it shows all the characters, like, using modern tech, but in the show itself, all the characters are using, like, landlines and stuff. It's like,
yeah,
we're going back to the 1970s.
I think a lot of the plot stuff kind of hinges on some of the old technology, though.
Yeah.
they can't really update it, which I'm totally fine with them not updating it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it as well. I just thought it was kind of funny.
Those kids have no idea what it's like to have someone drop in on your phone call unannounced. It's like, what? How'd you get on this?
Yeah, some people don't even know what a landline is anymore.
Rotary phone.
Or what a payphone is.
Yeah, they don't know what it means to hang up the phone. They don't know why we say hang up. They never slammed a receiver into a cradle for emphasis.
What the phone icon even is? Like, what is this weird shape?
Yeah. Well, they should all go watch this show, and it'll teach them. It's educational.
Yes, this show is very much in educational entertainment.
Look, there's lots of very cultural references in this. I mean, the original VHS tapes, which I used to own and probably still own somewhere, came with very detailed liner notes. So, sheets of paper that explained in detail all of the weird jokes that only Japanese people would get. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff in every episode because, they never expected that this would be broadcast worldwide. It was for Japanese people. So, yeah, even the basic premise.
What was that? You kind of broke up.
So even the basic premise of the show about the Oni, the people, the invaders, and they're from Japanese mythology. They're not really devils or monsters or anything. They're just these funny sort of trickster beings. So there's lots of weird little Japanese cultural things. I wonder, people who aren't familiar with the culture may get a little bit lost, maybe in later episodes. But it's a lot of fun anyway.
Mm.
So we have some news, not a lot. We want to talk about the new shows. So I'm just going to quickly tell you a couple things. I think it's just really important you guys know that Hunter x Hunter is coming back. It actually has a date this time, October 24th. We just need to let you know, because this is insane. Hunter x Hunter has been on hiatus forever, and I want to bring it up. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, same.
It's just like a week. By the time you hear this, it's probably already like come out in manga form.
I'll be on hiatus again.
Yeah, they'll go right back on hiatus until 2027.
Hiatus x hiatus.
Ooh. I don't think Amazon made that joke.
Mm.
Getting back to Gundam, I just also wanted to point out that was it the creator? The Mercury producer said that they wanted to create something for the youngins because what's it called? Universal Century. What's the mainline Gundam series?
The main one, yeah, Universal Century.
Universal
yeah.
Century yeah. is for boomers. The Witch is for zoomers.
So. Well, and it's a lot more TikTok dances in it then. Or Avo Lattes or whatnot. I don't know what the youngins
avocado
do these
taste.
Days.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that's more for the millennials, like the toast.
The Avo Latte?
Avo Latte. Avo Latte toast?
I don't know. No, I'm pretty sure it's just they for Avo Lattes, what it is, it's you basically scoop out a bit of avocado, and then you pour a latte in it, and you drink from the avocado.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I know, right?
This is important to our podcast.
Very important.
I want to get back to talking about the current season of anime, because there's just so much stuff. But that's all the important news. A bunch of people died. Obviously, we're not equipped to talk about that.
And
but,
then Chaos Head got put back on Steam.
Mm-hmm. Yay! If only I hadn't bought the Switch version first. Oh, well.
Oh, no. Yeah. Is it me, or does it feel like the Switch is pretty much the home to all the VNs now?
I mean, that Steam's Steam, like they're getting what Steam gets, pretty much.
Pretty just much. Yeah.
Well, I still have a backlog on my Vita, so I'm just playing through them on that.
Have you played Tactics Ogre's Let Us Cling Together?
No, I have never heard of that.
It is a very good tactical RPG. You should. Well, also, the remake for it comes out in like 2-3 weeks, so that might be a better purchase.
I mean, he said he can go on as long as he wants. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'll get to that when I'm about 94 years old at the current rate.
Fair
you guys
enough.
Guys live that long over there?
Apparently.
If you don't eat a typical Scottish diet and don't smoke and don't drink and take some kind of regular exercise, so probably not. No, I'll probably be dead in like by the time I'm 55.
I just eat potatoes and cigarettes. Tiger and Bunny Season 2, Part 2.
What was
going on? And I believe the whole thing dropped. I usually just watch a couple of episodes a day. I'm a few episodes in. I think it's probably better than the first part. I don't know, overall. Because the first part was more like Tiger and Bunny mentoring all the other teams in the new buddy system. And then this one is like, hey, they're back, but oh, there's other stuff going on. And they're carrying over the stuff that happened in the first part. But Dr. Kev, I know you're more passionate about this than anybody, I think.
Yeah, I love the show. I finished watching it. I won't spoil it for you. I mean, it ends, obviously. I mean, I kind of disagree with you a little. I think the beginning of the second half was a little bit weak. It has like, ooh, all of these people are rampaging. What could possibly be happening?
It's I didn't like, think that was very strong. No.
Yeah, like, ugh, for goodness sake. And then there's all this stuff about people then suddenly starting to get, you know, anxious and discriminating against the people with superpowers. It's like, the X-Men did this better like 30 years ago. So that kind of falls a little bit flat. But I have to say, the end of the season ends very strongly. It's got a really, really good last sort of maybe 4 or 5 episodes, really ramps up the action and the tension and the emotion, and it's really, really good. And if you know, if this is the way that they decide to end Tiger and Bunny, then I think it's a good place to end it, although there's ways I think they could possibly continue it as well. But it's a great show, and I watched it with my 11-year-old son, and he really, really loves Tiger and Bunny, because he was asking me, when's it coming back, Dad? When are we getting more episodes of Tiger and Bunny? So sometimes it can be a bit of a hassle, me trying to get him to watch stuff. He's like, oh, I'm playing Pokemon right now, Dad. Ugh. But with Tiger and Bunny, he's like, yeah, let's watch some more of that.
So, it seems like it's designed for Western audiences specifically.
Yeah, it's still a bit weird. It's good. It's a shame that it never got more widespread. It didn't end up on Toonami or anything like that, did it? I don't think it did. No, I think the execs were like, "Yeah, this is too strange for us. We can't do it." But yeah, it's a fun show. It's fairly lightweight. But yeah, I didn't think the animation this season was that great. I don't know if they started to run out of money or time or something. The CG
really loved it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I like the way it looks. I love the character designs. The guy who does the character designs is the one who did Video Girl Eye, the manga from years and years ago. Don't know if you've ever read that one. But he has a very distinctive way of drawing female characters. So I really like his stuff. And I did also recently watch the spin-off thing, Double Decker, Doug and Kirill. Don't know if you've seen that one. Yeah, I thought I really liked that. And I really, really like the character designs in that too. You do not need to watch that to watch Tiger and Bunny season 2 because it's barely associated.
I can't remember. I think I might have liked that a little more than Tiger and Bunny, but they kind of. I feel like they left it on a cliffhanger, so I don't know if they're ever going to come back to it.
They did. I mean, it went absolutely bananas towards the end of the season.
Space, and there was so much,
in space, but it all went very Trigger. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it did well enough for them to make a second series, which is a shame. So we'll just have to do with more Tiger and Bunny, which is fine with me.
Even though it ended.
Also, Kev, is the in-show advert product placement still there, or did they take that out?
It's still there. They changed some of the companies, but they're real companies. I know this because I checked them.
Yeah. Okay, good to know. Yeah, I just remember the Pepsi, I think the Pepsi lady, or was it the Coca-Cola lady, got changed a bit or something?
Yeah, so that's Blue Rose. She's the one with the fairly skimpy outfit who shoots ice from a gun thing. So she changed from Pepsi to something called Coolish, which apparently is a real drink.
Huh. Oh, it's real? I thought it was made up.
No.
Interesting.
So all of the brands, I mean, it's a bit more Japan-centric than it was before.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, like Wild Tiger has got, like, Bandai and Pac-Man and stuff like that.
They have five different Namcos. Like, you have Namco, Namcot, Bandai, Namco. It's like, all right, we'll just use what we got, apparently.
Yeah.
As many as possible.
They should have called them Bandai Man or Namco Man.
That would have been not tongue-in-cheek at all.
Yeah.
They could have just called him Pac-Man then.
Pac-Man.
But yeah.
Five Pac-Hoon.
I want to make sure we get to my favorite shows this season. So,
okay.
Do we need to talk about Spy Family? Because it's amazing, and we all love it. How much time? It's so delightful.
I love the dog.
It's still amazing. Borf.
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 Borf. Borf. Or sometimes it's Borfu. Borf. So good. One of the greatest anime intros ever, right up there with the Made in Abyss, the latest season. Two of the best intros this year. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah. So good.
Yes.
I can't wait till it's all dubbed, because then I'm going to watch it all again with my wife, who refuses to watch things until all of the episodes are available. So I end up just like,
get that divorce out of the way, man.
I just watch them all week by week, and then eventually go back and watch them with her.
It's a show worth watching twice. So close.
Yes, it is.
Okay. I mean, we don't need to say more. We said so much about it last season. Just keep watching it. It's still great. There's a dog now, and he can see the future. And then Anya can see him seeing the future. And then it just adds another layer to all the weird lies and fantastic.
Yep.
But let's talk about Mob Psycho season 3. As I've said many times, this is probably my favorite series, and it's not as like an amazing start as season 2 was, which I thought was like perfectly bombastic, but also tons of heart first episode. This time, it seems like it's setting things up. I like how we have a new character who I feel bad. I genuinely don't even remember him too much from season 2.
Oh, you mean Sarazawa?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the umbrella like right-hand man of the main villain of the second season.
Yeah, he wasn't the main villain. He was the right-hand man who was like had different ideals, I guess. And...
Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah, once again, Mob Psycho is still great, and the latest episode has a really dumb character who, of course, turns out, we actually knew what he was talking about. He was just ridiculous. That's kind of how the show works.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah, and just seeing both Mob and Sarazawa in action was just fantastic, and I love how that whole storyline was tied together with Mob's decision to like help seriously participate in a haunted house. It's like, while he was working, it's like, we could do, like, mimic this, like, slime on the walls with this. And like, ooh, this is a cool design. It's like, yeah, that's really cool. And it's just, like, very interesting to see, like, how, like, Mob grow and stuff. And it's just, you can kind of tell the series is winding down to its conclusion, which I think is really good. I thought the conclusion was fantastic, and yeah, it feels like all like this. These last two episodes do feel a lot more like setup, but they're building towards a greater goal, and also this buildup was just really good to boot. I also found it funny that Risu was really against the reverse maid cafe, and that's because he would have to participate in it if it got approved. So funny.
Yeah, I like how they went through that whole thing where he was just like constantly stressing over getting this like special. They wanted to make the haunted house something special. I was like, oh, I got this great idea. And then the voiceover is like, and then they did it, and no one really seemed to care either way.
And nobody complained. So mission yeah, no successful. Way.
Guys, yeah. It was really worth it. It's like, yeah. Yeah.
No, they were actually, I'm pretty sure all the guys who were in charge of making the great demon was the great, well, mob's idea. We're like, yeah, I'm really glad we put effort into this, even though it didn't make a huge splash.
Very heartfelt.
Yeah, it's yes. another heartwarming very, moment. On the,
yeah, it was very, yeah, it was very
it's like a ghost show.
Yes.
So weird. That's a weird, just like, it's a heartwarming school comedy in the middle of psychic ghost battles and giant broccoli.
It's like reverse, it's like Persona.
Yes, it's exactly like that.
Yes. I'm just waiting for Mob to take off his mask and summon Arsene.
It's really hard to, it's one of the, it's like Persona in that it's really hard to explain to someone who's not a fan. Like, what's this show about?
Let me show you some stills. Oh, God. No, no, you got to see it in motion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, motion looks amazing.
Yes. All right.
Let's move on. Let's talk about, man, we got some things here. I'll get pizza one. Raven in the of the Inner Palace. Oh, wait, ooh. I watched this. I only knew the Japanese title, but I've watched this.
Yeah, Raven in the Inner Palace is actually a very it's very interesting, I'd say, like, Chinese kind of romance drama mystery with supernatural elements, and it has like a very different feel from like most anime coming out, because it is like set in like imperial China, and it is like going hard on that setting.
Detective with, Conan, but
like when it feels like a period K drama, only it's in China, not Korea, but like it's so
like, mysterious.
Yeah, it's all about like court drama and intrigue, but also magic. And like, I found myself really liking it, even though it's not really my genre.
Yeah, and also I find that the character writing is fantastic, and just the different twists in this series is also so interesting. Like, from the promotional material and the general summary, you think that the main character is the Emperor, but it's actually the Raven consort, yeah. And she's a very interesting character with a very interesting background, and if, like, I don't want to spoil anything, so if you're listening to this, I highly recommend you check out the first episode blind, because it's just very good and very well presented, and it's very immersive. Also, the opening is a banger, and it's very mysterious.
Weird. I don't understand. What is that?
What?
That bird person that's like flying through the intro.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's like some kind of raven god or something. It's explained, yeah. I think, in the first episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she's not like an actual bird or anything.
Yeah, it's kind of like a spirit.
I like when they
Huh? Oh, I was
just like when they explain things. The mystery and the art style totally changes into like this puppetry style shadow box thing. It is pretty cool style.
Yeah, that's basically any like when they're talking about past events, I believe. Though some flashbacks are also not in the shadow box puppet theater. So yeah, I just like when they switch the animation style. It's pretty cool. So yeah, it's a very. I think this show is gonna fly under the radar because it's like not one of the super. Well, it's not super bombastic, but it's also just very solid in a season full of very good shows.
Indeed. Yeah, I recommend it too. I like it.
Yep.
What about the Chunin Shadow?
We already talked about that.
We did.
Yeah.
We
did.
extensively.
It's Eminence and Shadow.
Oh, so that was Eminence. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Your name. Man, let's give Rex something. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna go by exactly how he wrote it here. Villainous taming Fianal boss.
Fianal boss.
Yeah, I watched one episode of this and I dropped it. How'd you feel?
Yeah, we started off hot. It's kind of cooled off. The animation isn't very great. It's not bad. It's not Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer, but it's kind of average.
It's just kind of boring. Familiar, I'd say.
I was really surprised because they kind of like wrapped up the main storyline in the last episode. So I'm like, well, wait, where the hell are we going with this then?
Yeah. Well, actually, I haven't seen the second episode. I only watched the first episode. I was like, yeah, this is fine, I guess. But I've got another thing to watch.
The second episode, it's no better.
It's not any better.
Yeah.
It makes me laugh occasionally with some stuff. And like, I'm just really, because we got to the end of like the most recent episode, which I think is episode 4. And we're basically done with the, like the games storyline. So it's like, you're like, the main villainous show that we all liked.
Good one, right?
Yeah, good one. Where it got at the end of that season is where we already are in this show. So I'm like, all right, well, what's going on here?
Yeah, and remember how the villainous season two went into, like, after the like game storyline? Kind of just like treaded water, didn't really do anything interesting.
Yeah, I did like it though, still, because the characters were so great.
Yeah. But it kind of just feels like Villainous X Final Boss is just like, I think the character writing is actually better than Reincarnated as a Villainous, but just the animation and general feel of the show is just not very, well, it's not really gripping in a season with a lot of very gripping shows. So yeah, this kind of feels like it'd be fine in like a slower season, but this season's just kind of not worth it. Well, it's kind of hard to fit into your watch schedule.
This is the only show that I'm watching that I have dropped so far, just because it was boring.
Same. Yep.
Yep.
Fair enough. I'm not gonna like
sell
endorse
it.
The show. I'm not gonna endorse the show because it's something I put on. I watch. I'm like, oh, that was distracting, and then I move on with my day. So.
So one show I was thinking about checking out, and it didn't get very good reviews, so I didn't. I want to know more of is I lost it. Shit. Rec had it down. Oh, it's the girl who likes to read. What's it called again?
Bibliophile Princess.
Yeah, that's really it's that is some old school shoujo right there. Like you know, big eyes, big hair, shoujo bubbles. Princes and princesses and court intrigue, and it's all I'm finding it oddly nostalgic, and I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I watched it too. I really like this show. So I don't know.
I'm just going by Anime News Network. Didn't seem to love it, but if you guys say it's worth checking out,
it looks pretty. I don't know. Maybe that's all that we need.
That's it. It's pretty.
My favorite thing is like there's all these like plot lines and intrigue going on around her, and she has no idea because she's busy reading.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If you ever watched like Rose of Versailles and enjoyed that, you'd probably like this.
I don't think I did.
Yeah, like I said, it's old school shoujo style. It's very like, you know, prince and princesses, and you know, does he actually love me? I'm the fake fiance, but he actually loves her. Oh my god, like that kind of stuff. It's fun though. Okay. Looks great.
Yep.
All right. I guess we should probably talk about Love Love Season 2.
No spoilers.
Fucking shit. Only I know there's plenty of fucked up shit in Love Love. Like they used to call it the PTSD, you know, visual novel. So it's not like I wasn't expecting. In fact, the thing that made me go holy shit in the last episode, I saw it coming like a full 20 seconds before it happened, but I still couldn't believe it happened. You know when you see it, you know it has to happen because they're setting it up, but it's still like holy shit, I can't believe they did it, and I can't believe they did it that blatantly. There's a full on mommy moment. Yep. Okay, all right. You know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna say it. Yeah, they set up a moment where like his. Like one of his mentors is trying to give him a pep talk, And like, he has that epiphany moment. I'm going to get through this. And then like, oh shit, she's about to die. And then she does die because she gets her fucking head bit off.
Cool.
Like fucking straight up Modoka Magica, like Maomi shit, like full on head bit off in the most like grotesque detail. And I'm just sitting there like, holy shit, this show is so fucked up. Like he pissed himself at one point during this show.
Is it just me or does Love Love always premiere with like a fucked up moment like that?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the first season wasn't that great. So the second season has been a lot more interesting right off the bat. Since I never played the end, I don't know anything. So I'm coming in blind, except all I've ever seen was Schwarzmargen and Total Eclipse.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone else is watching this. Is anyone else watching this?
I was debating on watching it this morning, but I decided to watch Bocchi the Rock instead.
That's probably a solid choice. I kind of enjoying the ride though, because it's God, it's so fucking weird. Like they make the weirdest narrative choices, and not having any of the context. Like this has been pointed out many times on this podcast, but like they didn't adapt the first 2/3 of the story. So if you're like me and all you've seen is season one and spinoffs that don't directly relate to the story, sometimes it's very you're like, what the fuck is happening? But whoever wrote this stuff originally is deeply disturbed. It's like this guy and the Higurashi guy should just hang out.
They should just collab, make a new show themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got through most of the good stuff. Oh, I don't want to forget Golden Kamuy season 4 off to a pretty good start. I guess without going into the specifics, it has some of the most ridiculous, hilarious moments. And again, I just wonder, why is there no other show making the kind of dumb jokes that Golden Kamuy makes? Where this man has been drugged out of his mind, and he's just screaming, "Pussy!" And then he meets a rich kid who's getting beaten up on, and he's like, I'm gonna get his attention with these peach slices. And then he starts giving him a piggyback all over the place. And he's got, "I've got a monstrous pussy slave!" And it's just like, who is writing this stuff? I love it.
Is that an actual line of dialogue?
I verbatim.
Oh, yeah.
Verbatim. It's not exact.
Verbatim means exact.
Very down to earth, and then it just like switches into nonsense on a dime, and I love it.
Man, that's life.
Yeah, all right. Nobody else watching it yet? Are you guys going to watch it at all?
I have not watched the first 3 seasons yet.
I'm going to watch it. I haven't got to it yet. It's like, I haven't got to that one yet. I actually haven't watched the remake of Urusei yet. So.
It's hard for me to talk about this without spoiling anymore, so I just won't, but...
You can only talk so much about the 4th season of a show.
Yeah, it's true. I would say, Dr. Kev, you know I've never steered you wrong, so just fucking...
Never been wrong before.
Ever. Steered him wrong. I've been very wrong before.
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
Possibly go wrong. Well, I mean, at this point, we can probably... I'm going to read a few more picks from Ask Ante, and then you guys can say anything we might have missed. That's the meat of the season. There's still a lot of shows we didn't cover, but I think we covered most of the ones we really like. Let's see. Johan said he wanted to give a shout-out to DIY and Bocchi the Rock in a season with Chainsaw Man eclipsing hype. These Slice of Life shows really impressed. I think we agreed. I think going back to Mama Luigi, he also liked Do-It-Yourself. Management of a Novice Alchemist were also good times, as were the new Gundam and Mob Psycho. We talked about you, and you, and you. Viking said, the only thing that I've watched so far is Uzaki-chan, and something that wasn't good enough for me to remember the same. Fascinating. John said, the only show I'm watching is Chainsaw Man. Alistair, I'm very hyped by the sequels, Mob Psycho, Bleach, My Hero Academia, we haven't touched, I've watched it, it's more of that, and it's pretty good. He also said, Tiger and Bunny 2, I will even give a chance to shows I've never seen, like Uzaki-chan, Mobile Suit Gundam, and feel excited about new shows like Housing Complex C, Chainsaw Man, and Blue Lock. We covered you, and you, so that's pretty much all the other quotes. Of those that we didn't talk about, do you guys watch any of them?
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Housing Complex C, I know we didn't talk about Blue Lock.
No.
Isn't Housing Complex C on, like, Disney Plus or something?
It's not on Disney Plus. I don't know what it's on, but it's not available.
No, it's on
the UK.
Toonami, other Adult Swim, I thought it was.
Hmm.
It popped up somewhere.
Yeah. It's just somewhere weird.
I think I saw it on HBO Max, now that I think about it.
Oh, yeah, it was on HBO Max.
Wow, they get exclusive anime now?
Apparently.
Apparently.
Cool.
It feels like the whole Amazon Prime stuff all over again. Yeah, Familiar Zero is still locked behind there, isn't it?
So where it belongs.
Crunchyroll.
Yeah. I think there's only one show I'd kind of like to talk about at the moment, and it's because it's so fucked up, and that's More Than a Married Couple, Less Than Lovers. And the whole, like, setup was of, like, having people, like, being graded on being a married couple is just so fucked up in so many ways that I can only imagine who would approve. I'm pretty sure this is like a manga adaptation, right? But who would approve of this concept? Because it's pretty much doing the same, like, the same, like, nisekoi thing all over again, where the main couple aren't really in love with each other at the start, but slowly they become more enamored with each other. But it's all done in the setting of, like, them being graded on being lovers, so it's just, like, just real. The whole system is just so fucked up on so many levels. Like, it's taking the character's biometrics to see how they, like, feel towards each other, and then it uses, like, fingerprinting locks, and it's just, like, this is, like, some dystopian system that would probably, like, be used, like, in the setting of Hunger Games, and then the main characters would be, like, fighting against the system. But no, they're playing, like, this whole kind of totalitarian dystopia straight as a rom-com, and it's, like, this is just so wrong on so many levels. I can't believe this kind of anime. But I will say the show looks good.
Yeah, but I mean, the concept, if you think about the concept for like 10 seconds, it falls apart. It's like, I don't care what fucking fingerprint locks and cameras you have. You're not going to be able to prevent boning. This would lead to teenage pregnancies immediately. Not to mention that, like, it's set up, like, no parent on earth would ever agree to it. And on top of that, it's completely leaves out all any gay or lesbian characters, because it's all husbands and wives with no alteration. So I'm like, what is this cisgendered heteronormative nonsense?
Yeah, and then the whole, like, motivating factor for the main characters are, if you, like, score on the top, you can switch partners. It's like, doesn't that defeat the purpose of the whole experiment or the grading system or whatnot? I don't know. It makes my brain hurt, and so wrong.
You could take one from the team and keep watching it?
No, that's Kingsley's job.
I'm still watching it, so.
All right, there you go.
I have to admit, like, that setup is problematic and ridiculous. And it's such a obvious, like, oh, he likes her, and she likes this other guy. It's basically Toradora, but they have to live together.
Yeah.
I like Toradora.
But I love Toradora, too, and for some reason, this is working for me, even though it's so rote. It's so cliche. But, you know, it looks fantastic. And yeah,
it's just, like, so much worse than, like, Nisekoi. And I think I had a lot of issues with Nisekoi, but not this many issues.
It's
kind of sucked.
I find it oddly charming, so I'm still watching it.
All right. Anything else?
The team.
Yes, thank you very much. I'll write your eulogy or something.
I'm looking through what you guys have listed, and I think we covered most of the big ones.
Unless you want to talk about Beast Tamer.
Yeah, that show's fine.
Really?
Really? It's fine. It's fine. It's whatever.
I could not make it through half of the first episode. It was that bad.
Oh, someone mentioned Novice Alchemist, though.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. I'm watching that.
That was kind of cute. Cute slice of life kind of thing. a lot of the show isn't there. It's another like pharmacy kind of show where they goes out to the out to the country and starts their own like small pharmacy or potions or alchemist shop. Like I feel like I've seen at least one of those shows every season for like the last 2 years.
What about farming these days?
Yeah, I got farming. That show is fucking terrible, by the way. It's not even an isekai. It just sucks.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like a fantasy land with like stat menus and stuff, kind of in the vein of that other show. It's like I quit the Advent Heroes Party or whatnot, or I was kicked out of the Heroes Party and then moved.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but with not even like 1/10 of the charm or like character writing of that show.
Mm-hmm.
Because that show turned out to be fantastic.
Yeah, it was good.
This one is just like, you know, I am done with gamification worlds where like fantasy worlds that work on video game logic. I don't ever need to see a menu pop up again or have someone read a level.
Yeah, you still like Sword Reincarnation?
I was just thinking that. Yeah,
I know. I mean, I like it despite that, but I really wish they'd stopped. There has to be another way to like present that information or a different way to build that kind of thing, you know, in the world without that kind of like shit on Goblin Slayer all you want. They didn't do that. They had a pretty functioning, you know, D&D styled after D&D world with none of that shit. And it works fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't really do that in Danmachi. They just stuck them on their back, which makes way more sense.
Hmm.
Like Dead Space.
So, yeah, kind of like Dead Space. So, Danmachi, Dead Space, almost the same thing.
Title.
Dead Machi.
How funny. I think I enjoyed Danmachi so much more if they had like the jankiness of Dead Space 1 on the PC. Just imagine all the shit just flying all over the place. Yeah, sorry. I'm getting sidetracked.
All right. So we got pretty much everything covered. Let's maybe pick our, I don't know, 1 to 3 like shows that we've really dug and we're most excited to see the rest of the season.
Does that include sequels?
Everything. Because okay. Like sequels are just new seasons half the time. Some of these shows come back in like 10 years.
Watch new shows and keep the old. One is silver, the other is gold.
You're so wise, Rick.
I know. Yes. It's because I'm 40 fucking years old.
Holy shit. Who let you on this podcast?
I'm so old.
You're so old, man.
I've heard the future is now.
Oh, dear.
Not for you.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll go first. So I think the three things you probably want to check out this season would be definitely Chainsaw Man and Mob Psycho Season 3. But I'm going to do a Dark Horse for my third pick and say Raven of the Inner Palace because I know that's going to get underwatched.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it really is. It's a shame, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really a shonen. It doesn't really have like the appeal of like a Spy Family, so it's going to be tough.
Yeah, like it's I'd say pretty much a mystery romance show, which is very... I don't think that's a very niche genre. And it's also like set in a different type of setting, which I think not a lot of.
Like, honestly, it feels like the kind of show like you hit scrolling through your UHF channels on your TV.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Like you would hit it on like the Korean or Chinese channel and you'd be like, oh, this looks interesting. I thought it was a Chinese production at first until I realized it was, you know, Japanese. It's an anime. It just happens to be set in China.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if it's based off of source material that is Chinese, though. Because it wouldn't surprise me if it was.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Dr. Kev, you have any recommendations for the season?
I mean, there's probably about 8 shows that I could pick that I'm really excited for.
Yeah, I think we're all having that issue right now.
Yeah, I mean, I also think Chainsaw Man has potential to be incredible. But also Spy Family, because I'd love that so much. And Urusei Yatsura. Let's go with those three.
Yep. Rick?
So it's going to have to be for DIY. definitely DIY. That's the show I'm looking the most forward to now when it comes out. I'm like, oh man, this is great. You know, Witch for Mercury, the new Gundam. And honestly, I've only got one episode. And let me throw out, I'm also doubling down on Raven and the Inner Palace because that's pretty great. But there's only got one episode out. Anybody else watch Love Flops?
No.
I was tempted to watch it, but I, like, reading the ANN reviews made it sound absolutely awful.
It was... I respected the balls. It's like, what if he did... what if he did all of the cliches at once? What if one of them is pretending to be a boy but is actually a girl? And what if he ran into her on the way to... What if you ran into this other girl on the way to school while she had bread in her mouth? And what if
old school.
You accidentally grabbed a girl's panties by accident? Because that happens to everybody, right? You're on your way to school, you run into a girl, accidentally steal her bra.
Pretty much.
Huh. Really. And then doesn't he get like dry humped by a dog twice?
He gets dry humped by a dog. At one point, he gets attacked by a dog. And in the next shot, he's on the ground and his pants are off.
Can I take back the wisdom comment I made earlier?
Oh God, I am not endorsing it or suggesting you watch it. I am saying this show exists.
Honestly,
the audacity of it does amuse me.
Honestly, I'm surprised you picked this over like the Eminence and Shadow, because I'm pretty sure that show would have been up your alley.
Oh no, I'm thoroughly enjoying Eminence and Shadow.
Okay, but I just found my, the show my was official like...
picks. I think I'll go Witch of Mercury DIY and Eminence in Chunubio.
Okay.
But seriously, at least watch the first episode. Don't hang around for this show because it can't possibly hit these highs again. But watch the first episode to just watch some poor bastard who's worked on one too many like romantic comedies just lose his mind.
Fine, I'll watch the first episode just for you, Rec, and I'll blame you if I gouge my eyes out.
Yeah, it's a win-win.
Win-win for everybody. I don't see a problem here.
Who else will edit the freaking podcast?
You don't need to hear, not see.
We can just get Ray Kaze to do it.
So you're gonna have Ray Kaze do the timestamps.
Don't need timestamps anymore.
We'll get you one of those Braille keyboards. It'll be good.
Yeah,
work for Oedipus.
I fucking hate.
Just
you
get
guys.
That Daredevil power where you don't have to see; you just hear everything.
Yeah, world on fire.
Oh lordy.
Anyways. I'm just gonna mention some of the shows that like the premieres that really got to me, because all these shows are great. I can't like recommend just a couple. Everything you guys have said, I think it's been great. Not Love Flops, so I don't know what's wrong with you, but
I'm telling you, dude, you gotta watch.
I love the premiere Bleach, as I said. That's very much a nostalgia thing. You don't have to check that out if you don't have any nostalgia for it. Golden Kamuy was fucking fantastic first couple episodes. Wait, was it one or two episodes? I think it was two so far. And I mean, The Witch of Mercury seems pretty good too. I did not expect Yuri, so that shocked me. But for the most part, I'm pretty sure Spy Family will be the best show of the season again. So what are you going to do? That's about it for the podcast. Is there anything else we'd like to say before we wrap it up? I hope we helped you guys pick, but there's just so many shows, you can't really go wrong this season.
Yeah. I think a closing statement would be, I don't know if Rec is wise or not, but I certainly know he has very unique tastes.
Oh, yeah.
That's one way of putting it.
Yes.
Whatever Rec recommends, watch the other things.
Yes.
I'm a man of peculiar tastes.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Kev, Requiem, and That's My Pizza. I have been HyperMink. Keep watching anime until TV gets good again.
And probably not Love Flops.
Watch Love Flops.
Oh, dear. Bye.
Bye.
Peace.
Bye bye.